I've always thought that one of the most essential ingredients in the spiritual life is contradiction. The spiritual life, if it's to be a mature and real spiritual life, must never be a life of predictable sentimentality. It can't be a life where our prayers are always answered in ways that satisfy our feelings. It can't be a life where we comprehend God in his fullness, as if God is something that we have a right to know everything about. The spiritual life is ultimately the life of the deep. Throughout my priesthood, this has been one of my three or four signposts that indicate that I'm on the right path, when I'm in the deep. What's the deep like? Swimming in the deepest part of Lake Travis. It's dark water. You don't know what's down there. It's vast. It overwhelms you. You have to work just to keep your head above water. And when you do, you get tired. You can't touch the bottom. The deep is not knowing the answers, but struggling on in spite of not knowing the answers. Because ultimately, the deep is also about hope. Believing that some boat will eventually come along and fish you out of the water safely. This is what I kept coming back to this week as I read over this gospel passage. Luke places today's story in the midst of a line of vignettes that show very obvious ways the power and purpose of Jesus' ministry is manifested. In spiritual terms, these vignettes are the shallows of Jesus' ministry. It's certainly the presence of God in each of these scenes, but it's the kind of presence of God that we can understand. It starts with Jesus announcing himself out loud in his boyhood synagogue for all to understand, and they're amazed. Then he tells a man possessed by a demon to be silent, and all see very clearly what Jesus is all about, and again, they're amazed as the demon actually leaves the man. Next in the gospel, he cures his friend Simon's mother-in-law in front of an overflowing house. She gets up and immediately begins to serve them, and everybody is impressed. The gospel then says that crowds came from all over to see these things, and many were cured of diseases and demons were cast out because they could see that he was the Messiah. It was obvious to them, and that clear evidence was not only wonderful to them, but it was comforting because he did things that they could see and understand. Then we come to this story today, a story that we all know well. And here's the point. Right in the very center of the story, we hear something quite different. This contradiction, this flip side of the initial encounter with Christ, which I think is the most interesting part of the passage. Right in the heart of his Galilean ministry, where Jesus quite literally shows people who he is and what he can do, as he's about to show them another manifestation of his divinity with a miracle of overflowing fish, he says one of the most important things in all the Gospels. And I said it earlier, it might just be the most important reality of our spiritual life, something that Peter would have to grapple with right down to his martyrdom, something St. Paul had to embrace in his blinding encounter with God, knocking him off his high horse, something Augustine faced in his conversion, something John of the Cross wrote about in his dark night, something Mother Teresa experienced for 30 years, something Thomas Merton understood when he suggested that finding God isn't really finding God, but actually losing yourself in God. The most important reality of the spiritual journey for you and me too is Jesus' command to Peter, put out into the deep. This is it. This is what all of this is all about. You have to go out into the deep. It doesn't taste like flesh. It tastes like bread. And it doesn't taste like blood. It tastes like wine. And yet it is the body and blood of Christ. How can this be? This is the deep. I know. I can't figure it out either. Could there be any more important expectation of the spiritual life than to go out and embrace what cannot be known? This is what the deep means. The most valuable spiritual work in your life will not happen in the shallows. The shallows are good, but that's not where you're going to have the most important encounter with God. You will have the most important encounter with God in the uncertainty of the deep. And this is the contradiction. It's a contradiction because the deep is where we ultimately find God, and the deep, ever since we were little kids, and even now that we're big kids, is always the last place we want to go. Think about your life. When we've faced uncertainty, when we have a tough choice to make, when we have the admission that we need to change directions in our lives, when a tragedy has happened to you that was totally unexpected, a child that goes the wrong way, a marriage that seems so perfect but now seems so vacant, this mess in which we find ourselves in the church today, this church that is so true but filled with such weak people. The heavy lifting of spirituality, the task of spirituality, is coming to know God in his hiddenness. This is what spirituality is all about. This is not sentimentality. This is not saying prayers and feeling so wonderful about life. That's not this. The deep is real spirituality. In his seeming lack of answers, that's the deep. Just like his ministry in Luke here, he shows himself through healings and miracles right out in the open. But as we know, that's just the beginning. It's almost as if that's his way of attracting people. And then he says, this isn't it. You got to go deeper. You got to go out into the deep. Because God ultimately comes to us most effectively in his hiddenness. Or, put another way, God pulls us into his hiddenness. He pulls us into the deep, which is ultimately his infiniteness. That's what Holy Communion is. St. Thomas Aquinas writes it in his beautiful Eucharistic hymn, God in hidden majesty. It tastes like bread. It doesn't taste like flesh. It tastes like wine. It doesn't taste like blood. But it is his body and blood hidden under the accidents of bread and wine. And when you come to communion, he's pulling you into the deep so that you might have this rich encounter with him. It's a beautiful contradiction. God calling us into his hiddenness so that we might find him. Father Rollheiser explains that God does this the most remarkably in a baby in a mother's womb. This is what this is like with us and God. The baby is totally surrounded and enveloped in darkness. The baby is in the darkest deep, doesn't understand what's going on. It can't. The mother is the one that understands what's happening. All because the mother is entirely present to the baby not in her absence. That's the deep that Jesus calls us into. We can live years of struggle trying to know God, and it ends up only being in the darkness of the deep that we actually find him. It's like the brightest sun you've ever seen. Excessive light is actually the darkness of the deep. If you stare straight into the sun with no protection for your eyes, what do you see? Nothing. The overwhelmingness of the light renders you blind, as if you were in pitch darkness. It's why we have difficulty seeing God, and why generally the deeper we journey toward God, the deeper we journey toward the light, the more God seems to disappear and become harder and harder to picture. We're blinded not by God's absence. We're blinded by God's presence. This is the deep that Jesus is calling you into. Isn't that beautiful? We're blinded not by his absence. We're blinded by his presence. It's the same thing that Mother Teresa experienced. Same thing that Saint Faustina encountered when she wrote, "Jesus, I can't trust in anything of my own. I can only trust in you." It's why John of the Cross said, "We know more about God by what we don't know about God than what we do know about God." It's what Thomas Aquinas was talking about when he said at the very last of his life, with all the amazing theological observations he made throughout his life, all of it is straw. You know, they say at the end of his life, Thomas Aquinas, he had an encounter with God and he was never able to write again. Words had become insufficient to express the mystery he encountered. This is the deep. This is what you are being called to. This is the deep into which Jesus calls you so that you might have a catch of inestimable value. Those first followers, they fished on that lake their whole lives. They knew every cove. They knew every shoreline. They knew every jetty and every current. And Jesus was asking them to do something quite different from what they knew. Go out into the deep is code for, and this is for you, go into the unknown, to which God might even say, just like he said to Peter, go into the deep, to which Peter said, I can't. Leave me alone, God. I am a sinful person. To which God says then in return, do not be afraid. Go out into the deep. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.